Psalm 46, verse 10. Be still and know that I am God. Psalm 46, 10. Psalm 139, verse 4. Before a word is on my tongue, you knew it all together. Oh Lord, completely. Let's do it again. Psalm 139, 4. Before a word is on my tongue, you knew it completely, O Lord. Psalm 139, 4. Psalm 139, 2 and 3. You know when I sit, when I arise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You're familiar with all my ways. Psalm 139, 2 and 3. Psalm 119, verse 18. Open my eyes that I may see the wonderful things from thy word. Psalm 119, 18. Would you open your Bibles to Psalm 40, verses 6 through 8? Just in case you cannot read that, that says Psalm 40, 6 through 8. In just a few moments, we're going to be looking at Hebrews chapter 10, verse 5. And so I will also put that one on the screen. For you can see, I have here the verse in the English and also in the Greek of Hebrews chapter 10, verse 5. We spend a moment in prayer before we begin our study. Father, we're thankful, so very thankful for your matchless grace. We are always blessed, and we thank you for your grace blessings upon us. Today we bow to express our thanks for the fact that we are members of the royal family, heirs of God, joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. We have the assurance that heaven is our eternal home. Jesus Christ is our personal Savior. We are convinced of our great blessings every single day. You have allowed us to still be here on this earth. And the fact that we're still here reveals that you have a purpose and a plan for our still being here. We realize that our lives are not just something that would be classified as an accident. We're here on purpose. We're here because God designed for us to be here. And we bow to express our thanks for the privilege of advancing and growing in grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. We pray that you will guide us in these moments of study today. We thank you for the opportunity to do it. In Jesus' name, amen. If you'll open your Bibles, please, to first of all, let's go to Hebrews chapter 10. We'll be looking at Psalm 40 in a moment, but let's look first of all at Hebrews chapter 10. Picking up our verse with verse 5. Therefore, when he comes into the world, he says, sacrifice and offering thou hast not desired, but a body thou hast prepared for me. In whole burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast taken no pleasure. Then I said, behold, I have come. In the roll of the book it is written of me to do thy will, O God. Then if you'll open your Bibles to the book of Psalms, Psalm 40. Going down to verse 6. Sacrifice and meal offering thou hast not desired. My ears you have pierced. Burnt offering and sin offering thou hast not required. Then I said, behold, I come in the scroll of the book. It is written of me. I delight to do thy will, O my God. The law is within my heart. On the screen, you can see Hebrews chapter 10, verse 5. Wherefore, when he entered into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering you did not wish, but a body you did prepare for me. In the previous service, we emphasized the fact that the members of the Godhead, deity 1, deity 2, deity 3, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, that there was one member of that Trinity, deity 2, the pre-existent Christ, who became the God-man, God in the flesh. We know that is the hypostatic union. The word hypostatic is an interesting word. It's made up of two words from the original language. Hupo, which means under. Stasis, which means sustained. To stand under, the hypostatic union. The Heavenly Father, the pre-existent Christ, the Holy Spirit, in the eternal ages past, looked down upon mankind and I believe concluded that you and I needed some help. And also realized that there was no way that anyone on the earth could help. So there had to be someone who was both a part of the deity phase and humanity phase to be a God-man, to be properly related to God on the one hand, man on the other hand, to take care of that situation. So, Deity 2, the pre-existent Christ, I believe, in essence, said to Deity 1, I will go to the earth and I will be the man that's also God, which is the God-man. That's what we find in the writings of Hebrews 10:5. Wherefore, when he entered into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering you did not wish, but a body you did prepare for me. Notice now, this is deity speaking at the time of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. It says, wherefore, when he entered into the world. What is so interesting here is when you take a look at the word entered, it is the Greek word eis erkomai. Erkomai is the Greek word which means to come or go. Eis is the preposition or prefix here, into. And you'll notice how the word is used. It is a present middle participle. You wanted to know about that, I know. And so that's the reason why I'm sharing it with you. The present tense means continuous action. We have a middle voice. The middle voice says the subject participates in the action and is normally benefited thereby. That's just a simple way of saying what the middle voice means. You can see here that it's saying that when he, Jesus Christ, the pre-existent Christ, became the existent Christ, that he did it and he was benefited by it, but we too are benefited by it. Wherefore, when he entered into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering you did not wish, but a body, soma, you did prepare. Now, if you'll notice that the way the word is used, prepare there, it is the aorist tense, a point of time, but also it has that middle voice. And then it has the indicative mood, which is the mood of reality. I don't want to go into a lot of discussion here on the Greek, but I want you to see how fantastic this verse is. So we have, wherefore he entered into the world, when Jesus Christ entered into the world, as a tiny little baby, deity spoke and said, sacrifice and offering you did not wish, but a soma, a body, you did prepare for me. When the Lord Jesus Christ came into the world, even as a tiny baby, deity spoke. And the scripture we've just been giving you from Hebrews is a quote from Psalm 40, 6 through 8. I would encourage you to write those two passages down, Hebrews 10, 5 through 7, and Psalm 40, 6 through 8. This quote is presented to us, as I've already read to you, Hebrews 10, 5 through 7. The expression there is, a body thou hast prepared for me. We find that in the book of Psalms, not in Hebrews, but it's not found in Psalms. In Psalms, we just read to you, it says, you pierced my ears. My ears have been pierced, which is an unusual way of seeing two different passages of Scripture, one in the Old Testament, one in the New Testament. So we have an emphasis then on the fact of becoming humanity. in Hebrews 10:5 is the piercing of the ears of Psalm 46. I don't want to go so fast you miss this. I want you to see how fantastic it is, how the New Testament and the Old Testament fit together. Becoming humanity in Hebrews 10:5 is the piercing of the ears in Psalm 46. In the ancient world, when a person chose to be a slave, or when they were slaves, but when they worked out their time and stayed the number of years were required, they could, if they so desired, become free. Many times, a person who was a slave became so attached to their master. They loved their master. They appreciated their master. They enjoyed being a part of the family of their master. And so when it came to the point of time when they could be released and become free, they would choose not to be free because they wanted to remain with their master. And for them to remain in their, with their master, the master would say, "Are you sure about this? Do you want to remain in my family as a slave? But you want to remain even though you've been set free? You want to remain in the family?" And they would say, "Yes, I want to remain in your family. My wife wants to remain in the family. The children want to remain in your family." And so he said, "Okay, if that's what you're going to do, you just back over here against this pole and we're going to drive a hole through your ear." That's a pierced ear. Y'all got the picture? I'm enjoying telling the story, but I have it written out for you. In the ancient world, when a person chose to be a slave, to continue to be a slave, he indicated that desire by allowing a hole to be placed in his ear. Did you get the picture? I said it, I'm reading it, but I want you to see. He was earmarked for life. When Jesus Christ came into this world as the God-man, he became earmarked forever. In the ages past, deity too volunteered to be identified with man by means of the incarnation. That means God in the flesh. The body was identified, or was the identification mark of the hypostatic union. Christ was actually saying, "I'm here because I want to be here." I don't want you to miss that. When Jesus Christ was born, all of us are familiar with that story. All of us are familiar with the fact that he came here on purpose. He said, in essence, "I'm here because I want to be here. I've chosen to be my Father's slave. There's nothing greater for me than to respond as a slave to my Father's plans." You ought to take that down. You ought to think about that. Jesus Christ was saying when he was born, deity speaking as a tiny little baby, "You've given me a body. I'm here on purpose. I desire to be here. I'm earmarked forever as the God-man. I've chosen to become my Father's slave. There's nothing greater for me than to respond as a slave to my Father's plan." So, the body of Hebrews 10:5 is the piercing of the ear in Psalm 40, verse 6. You have it attached together and in your thinking? The word ear is used in many different ways throughout the Word of God. Now, I really just wanted to stay right there and not go on, because when I present information about how the Bible uses the word ear, I seem to somehow take it away from the emphasis that we're giving here. But I'm going to have to do it anyway, because you need to see what the Bible says about the ear. For instance, I look at you. Someone even said to me the other day, sent a text message, and I thought this was kind of interesting. You have two ears. Y'all have two ears. You have two eyes. Two eyes. You have one tongue. You ought to laugh now, because I want you to see. Two ears. Two eyes. One tongue. You expect me now to go into a discussion about that, but I'm not going to do it because I'm going to let you think about it yourself. The body was the identification mark of the hypostatic union. Jesus Christ was actually saying, I'm here because I want to be here. I've chosen to become my Father's slave. There's nothing greater for me than to respond as a slave to my Father's plan. The body of Hebrews 10:5, and I repeat, is the piercing of the ear in Psalm 40, verse 6. The word ear is used in many ways. What I want you to see, that the first way ears are used to indicate the system by which a person can advance spiritually. You're sitting in this auditorium today, you're quiet, you're listening, and you're using what God has given you, ears. Ears are used to indicate the system by which a person can advance and grow in grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. There are many verses. We will not go and look at all these verses. Revelation 2:7, Revelation 2:11, Revelation 2:17, Revelation 2:29, Job 34:1 through 3, Proverbs 18:15. In all of these verses, it emphasizes the fact that God has given us two ears, and the ears are responsible for hearing. The heart of the prudent getteth knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeketh knowledge. If you're not where you want to be, you're not where you should be, I promise you, you're on the way there because you're listening. There are many people in this auditorium who are new believers. You haven't advanced all that far. That's okay. You're baby believers, and there's nothing wrong with being a baby. But there is something wrong with staying a baby. In other words, if a person is 45 or 50 years of age and they're still a baby, that's not good. But if a baby is a little tiny baby, that's good. There's not anything wrong with being a baby. But there is something wrong with all of us staying baby Christians and baby spiritually. Ears are used then to indicate the system by which a person can grow. Notice, if you will, please, the heart of the prudent getteth knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeketh knowledge. That's why you're in this auditorium. That's why you're listening. That's why you come faithfully. Because what we do here is open the book and teach the Word of God. Why are we here? What's our purpose for being here? Is it for fun? Oh, we have fun during the break. That's good. You enjoy the fellowship. That's okay. But we're here for the purpose of being in this auditorium to advance spiritually. Ears are used to indicate the system by which a person can advance and grow. A born-again believer delights in hearing the Word of God. If that person, man or woman, boy or girl, is perceptive. Oftentimes in conversation with people, I use the word perceptive. And you know what? I'm aware of the fact that sometimes when I talk to people and I use the word perceptive, they don't know what I'm talking about. They don't understand. It's a simple word, but people don't know what you're talking about. Perceptive? Perceptive, what does that mean? A born-again believer delights in hearing the Word of God. When that person desires to hear the Word of God, they're perceptive to the Word of God. That person becomes self-disciplined. What I've noticed about individuals, when the doors of this church are open, you're here. You come faithfully. No matter how far you have to drive, you're getting here, and you're here for one purpose, and that is to grow and to love the Lord Jesus Christ. A born-again believer delights in hearing the Word of God. If that person is perceptive, that person is self-disciplined, that person hungers for spiritual food, and they hunger for spiritual food each and every day, not just once a week. No matter how great the pressures, no matter how tired the body, no matter how many distractions, the perceptive believer hungers for spiritual food. for his own, her own soul. That's the reason why in Hebrews 10:25 it says, you're not to forsake the assembling. That's good, isn't it? We're not to forsake the assembling. Could I go on to number two? Ears are also used in the Bible for dedication. Psalm 40, verse 6. Exodus 21, 6. Deuteronomy 15, 7. A person who consistently hears the word of God will gain spiritual momentum. And they will gain what I call spiritual altitude to the grace life. If you are not where you want to be, if you are not where you should be as a Christian, just keep on doing what you're doing now and you're going to advance. You're going to grow. You're going to become more and more like Jesus Christ. The earmarked believer and the believer with the pierced ear of Psalm 46 is actually saying, I love the Word of God. I want the Word of God. It's more important to me than anything else. I cannot love, adore, and appreciate the Lord Jesus Christ apart from the Word of God. I'm a slave to the truth. I just enjoy reading my statements. I get excitement. I get excited about reading what I've written. If you could just get half excited as I am, I'm excited twice. I'm excited when I write it, and I'm excited when I read it. And then I try to get you excited about the fact that I wrote it, and now I'm reading it. Oh, but I need to be negative a little bit. The ear is also used in the scripture in a negative way. For instance, non-perception. In Jeremiah 6:10, we read, to whom shall I speak? To whom shall I give warning? That they may hear. Behold, their ear is uncircumcised, and they cannot listen. They cannot hearken. Behold, the word of the Lord is unto them a reproach, and they have no delight in it. You see how that word ear is used also in a negative way, when people don't care about the word of God. I've said many times to this congregation, whom I love so dearly, you are protected. You don't realize how protected you are. The reason why you're protected, one of the reasons is, when people come into this auditorium, they may have various backgrounds, and they may be interested in a lot of different things. But when they come in here, they come and realize that what we do is study the Word of God. If they're not interested in the Word of God, they may be nice and sit there and listen, but they never come back. And because they never come back, you are protected. You see what I'm saying? Please get that. We're not trying to have the thousands. We're trying to have people who love the Lord Jesus Christ and love His Word and advance in His Word. And we like to see those items that would bring about distraction to us to be gone. And they're gone if they want other things than the Word of God. If they come for entertainment, they're not going to find all that much. If they come for singing, and we love singing, but they're not going to find all that much. If they come for all the various other aspects, they're not going to find that. What is the emphasis? When they come in through these doors into this auditorium and they have a seat, what do? We open the Bible. We study the Bible together. We study God's Word together. And that, we find, points us to our love for the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you see what I'm saying? There are many churches that have all kinds of things going to get people there, but what do they get when they get there? Now, why am I getting off on the track? Number three, the ear is also used in the scripture for non-perception. I've read that, Jeremiah 6:10. Let me go on to number four. The ear is used to reveal apostasy, leading to discipline. We could get into that passage of scripture, Isaiah 6:10, but let's not do it. Let's go on. Number five, the ear was a part the consecration of the priest. In Exodus chapter 29, Leviticus chapter 8, we see that blood was placed on the right ear, indicating the function of the priesthood in communicating the written word. As a part of the dedication, blood was placed on the right ear, on the thumb, and the big toe. Very interesting, isn't it? That's presented to us in Exodus 29:20, Leviticus 8:23. Number six, the healed leper had blood placed on the ear to indicate the importance of God's word and the solution to life's problems. Leviticus 14:14. Please understand that I cannot take the time to go into reading and all the descriptions that we have by these many wonderful verses of Scripture. Number seven, David described the ear in the sense of an anthropomorphism. We're going to stop on that for a few moments. Anthropopathism is a word which means a means of communication, words of accommodation. God has given to us in the Scripture a lot of words of accommodation. They are words that we can understand as human beings, but they are words that are divine. And they're placed in the Scripture in such a way that we can comprehend those words. Some of those are called anthropopathisms, expressing attitudes. And then there are words used to express things that are touchable, like, for your instance, your hands or your ears or any part of your body. For instance, they are emphasized by the word anthropomorphism. Now, I don't want to get carried away with big words, but I want you to see that David describes the ear in the sense of an anthropomorphism. In other words, it says things like God is a God who has ears, or a God is a God who has hands, or a God who has whatever parts of the body. Now, we know that God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Now, let's not get into this other than to tell you that sometimes the Scripture describes things in ways that you and I can understand, and it takes divine thought and puts it in human terminology. Does that make sense? Divine thoughts in human terminology. When it says God hears and we say God has ears, that's an anthropomorphism because it emphasizes an ear, which God doesn't actually have, because God is a spirit and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. You understand? Okay. Paul, you understand? Good. All right. I want you to understand. I want you to listen carefully and understand. I'm glad for these people desiring to learn and grow and advance. So David describes the ear in the sense of an anthropomorphism. That is, God is said to have ears in Psalm 34, 15, and 17. Number eight, the ear is an anthropomorphism, is used is in restoring, for instance, Israel from discipline. And that's presented to us in Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 6. Got to run on. Number nine, the ear is an anthropomorphism, is contrasted to idols. And we know that you and I have seen idols either on television or we've been to a foreign country and we've seen these idols. It's always amazing to me when we were in Hong Kong and Taiwan and various places where we went to these temples and they had these idols. And I looked to see if they were going to eat because they brought food to these idols and I noticed that they didn't. And I was waiting for them to look around and see and I didn't see that they could see. And so I'm telling you that idols can't see. But the ear is used as an anthropomorphism and is contrasted to idols which cannot hear and see in Isaiah 59:1, Psalm 135, verse 17. I must hasten. Number 10. The ear is also associated with gossip in Proverbs 17:4, which says, a wicked doer giveth heed to false lips, and a liar giveth ear to a naughty tongue. What's amazing to me is that the Scripture has some things to say about the ear. Look at this, will you please? Ears. Grace has overcome every handicap to the believer who is perceptive. Please stay with me now and let's look to see what's happening. I'm standing here talking. You're sitting there listening. words are going through the airways and they're hitting your hammer and anvil and stirrup. They're hitting into your ear. And you're receiving and you're comprehending words that are being spoken. So ears is symbolic. Grace has overcome every handicap to the believer who is perceptive. Which simply means that some of you are saying, well, I'm not all that smart. But IQ is no handicap in learning God's Word. So don't ever use the excuse, I'm not smart and I can't learn the Word of God. Because we have to understand that IQ is no handicap in learning God's Word. Be cleansed of sin, filled with the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit directs, and you're able to comprehend spiritual truths. Number three, residence in the divine dynasphere is the basis, then, for spiritual momentum. You can have a very high IQ, or you can have a low IQ, and as a born-again believer, you come into this auditorium and you find yourself in harmony, in fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ, and God the Holy Spirit will take His Word and you will be able to comprehend and then make application of His Word. Does that make sense? Residence in the divine dynasphere, number three, is the basis for spiritual momentum. So don't use the excuse, I'm not smart, or I don't have a high IQ. Because you're saying then that God is not capable of taking care of you. God allows each one of us in fellowship to receive spiritual fuel for our souls. So number three again, residence in the divine dynasphere, right with God, is the basis for spiritual momentum. Number four, an ear refers to teachability, to learn. Having ears says that you can learn. So I'm going to ask you, don't look around to see if anyone has ears, but I'm going to ask you, do you have ears? Well, some of you ladies have your hair over your ears, and I can't see that you have ears, but I'm of the opinion that you have some ears. The ear represents the grace system of perception to truth. You're sitting here, you have ears, which simply means that God has given you two ears. And that lets us know that those ears represents the grace system of perception to truth. God has provided, number six, in grace, the system to learn. Number seven, the system is God's plan where volition is the issue and not IQ. Number eight, to use God's system of learning results in spiritual maturity. You have no excuse. I have no excuse for learning because we have two ears and we have the power of the Holy Spirit. We have the written Word of God. We have everything we need to grow and to advance spiritually. And if you're not growing and advancing spiritually, it's because you are choosing on a day-by-day basis to close your ears and not listen to the communication of the Word of God. To use the God system of learning results in spiritual maturity, number eight. Number nine, maturity glorifies the Lord Jesus Christ. Number 10, believers' maturity brings historical uptrend to the nation. I want you to know this is something that is desperately needed at every point of time in history, but it is especially needed today. It is time for believers to be perceptive to God's plan and pray earnestly that God's will be accomplished. And so I'm going to say to you, you can make it if you have ears. Take your ears where truth is. Get your ears in here. Get your ears in here. I'm going to pause and let you think about what I'm saying. Get your ears in here. If your ears become hears and you keep hearing, you'll make it. Put an H, heaven. Put an H at the beginning of the word ears. H-E-A-R-S, hears. Let your ears be hears. If your ears become hears, and you keep on hearing, You're going to make it. But notice that last statement. The decision is yours. You've got to make the decision. Oh, if I could make it for you, I would. But I got to make it for myself. Now, I have page after page of information that I want to give you because it's important for us to see how on this earth we as born-again believers now need to comprehend what God's specific plan is for us as individuals. What God's plan is for you as an individual. Your existence on this earth and your presence in this auditorium today reveals that God has a purpose and a plan for your life and mine. No accident about you being born. No accident about you being here. No accident about the fact that you've already accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. And so as a result of that, you're a member of the family of God. And so you're on the earth, specifically planned by the Heavenly Father, and God has a reason for your being here today. Not only being here on the earth, but being here in this auditorium now. And what I believe in closing that I need to tell you, that since you're here on purpose, your ears need to become ears. And you need to hear, not only today, but each and every day of your life, what God has to say from His Word. Be perceptive to His Word, be perceptive to His plan, and God will use you in a magnificent way to be a blessing to other individuals. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. You've already done that. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You've done that. But as many as received Him, Christ, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. You've done that. You're sons of God. There may be those who are listening to this voice today. You've never done that. But I'm here to tell you that God loves you with an everlasting love. And Christ reveals that love so magnificently when He was willing to leave heaven's glory and come to this earth as the God-man to be in a body. And on that cross, Jesus Christ was willing to die. How fantastic. In my mind's eye, I see Jesus hanging on the cross, dying for the sins of the world. And I see Him, and you let me do this for a few moments. I see Him as God's Son, the Redeemer. I see Him as God's gift to the world and God's gift to you. I see Him taking one hand, and this is putting it into language that you and I can understand. I see Him as He raises one hand, and God, anthropomorphism, reaches down with His hand and takes the hand of the Lord Jesus Christ. And down here, we see the other hand extended to the entire world, including each one of you, including every individual. And so what happens when a person is, in essence, will say, I believe, I accept what God offers. I reach, in essence, so to speak, an anthropomorphism. I reach up and take His hand. And so now He has my hand, and my hand, Jesus Christ, is in the Father's hand. And I see Him taking those hands and putting them together. You got the picture? Wow. We don't deserve that. No one on this earth deserves that. But when God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, any person who would believe, accept Him, He accepts them. And the Scripture says, My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no one is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. May we bow for a moment of prayer. Father, we're thankful today for the Lord Jesus Christ, for the fact that He was willing to come to this earth and be the God-man, a beautiful, magnificent body, the hypostatic union. He came for the specific purpose of going to the cross to bear the sins of the world. He's earmarked for us, and we see it presented so beautifully in the verses we've analyzed today. When he gave himself on the cross, he was earmarked. There's the identification. He came for the specific purpose of dying for the sins of the world. And the scripture says so beautifully, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. We realize that that verse is so powerful because it reveals to us that salvation comes only through the person of Jesus Christ, the one who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except by me. He loved the world so much that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish, but have eternal life. We pray for those who hear this message today who yet have never trusted you. May they do it now. We thank you for every blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.